living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
I want to ask this morning, why is it that we sing? Let me tell you about this second friend of mine. This second friend, he's different than the first, and that he grew up in church. He still attends today. He's an active participant in his church. He's certainly someone that I would classify as a committed Christ follower. His relationship with God, that's something that is a high priority in his life. But you know, my friend, my committed friend, did you know he hates to sing in church? Okay? And what I'm about to tell you, this is the honest truth. I'm not making it up or embellishing it in any way. But listen, my friend, he hates singing so much that he does not show up on Sunday morning until after the singing is over. This is the truth. So if his service starts at 10 o'clock, he does not leave his house until 10:10. So he doesn't have to be there for the singing. So man, this guy, he is passionate about not singing. And maybe you're here this morning and your singing sentiment is a lot like those two friends of mine. When it comes to singing in the church, you just as soon send it down the road. Because to be flat honest, it doesn't do a thing for you. And if that's where you're at this morning, I want you to know you can relax. Okay, I'm certainly not here to rip on my two friends whom I love and respect. And I'm not here to rip on you and tell you you're a horrible person because you don't like to sing. That is not the intent. But this morning, I want us to try and figure out this. Today, every Christ-following church in the world is going to sing. Now, why is that? Why is that? I mean, have you ever thought about that? I mean, we can understand that there are a lot of different churches out there, a lot of different Christ-centered churches with a lot of different ways of doing things. They're each unique, but isn't it interesting that they all sing? So why is that? Why do we sing? That's the question that we want to answer this morning. That's our intent. And you know, I think it's an important question to answer because sometimes there's some flawed reasoning that can creep into the church, can creep into our hearts about why we sing. Some flawed reasoning. I'll give you a couple examples of what I mean. This is flawed reason number one. Singing is our pregame warm-up drill. Singing is our pregame warm-up drill. Why we sing, that's why. That's flawed reason number one. So do we believe singing to be the church's warm-up drill? You know, you've seen it before. We come into church, we say, let's stand up, church. Let's get the blood flowing in those legs. Let's get the rose back in those cheeks. Is it a warm-up drill? Or is there more to it than that? So why do we sing? Flawed reason number two, singing fills space like pie fills my face. Yes, I just made that up this morning. Singing fills space like pie fills my face. Do you believe singing was introduced to the church to be a time filler? Is singing a time filler? Has it been thrown in there at some point along church history to give us something to do, to fill up our cultural norm, church service time quota, to get us in that right amount of time? Was singing thrown in there so that we can meet that, so that we can reach that? Is singing a time filler? Or is there more to it than that? Those are a couple of flawed reasonings. And so we're asking this morning, why is it that we sing? It's interesting when you look through Scripture at how big God seems to be on it, on singing. Now, we don't know why yet, but we see quickly God is definitely pro-singing. There are several verses that I'm going to read for you. We're just going to read through them quickly, so don't bother looking them up. But the passage that we end on here in Ephesians, that's the passage that we'll fix on after we move through these initial verses. But here's just a taste of what the Word of God says concerning singing. So starting in the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles 16:9, King David wrote, "Sing to him," him referring, of course, to all worthy God. It says, "Sing praise to him." In Jeremiah 20:13, it says, "Sing to the Lord," we're told with exclamation. And into the New Testament then in Romans 15:11, "Sing praises to him, all you peoples, sing praises to him." And then finally we get to Ephesians, which if you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles to chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 19 and 20 there. And I'll pause for a moment so you can open your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there should be one located under the chair in front of you. I'm going to read from the NIV 1982 version, so the wording will be slightly different from what you find in the Bible under your chair. So Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. Says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." It said, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to God, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus." So why do we sing? Well, let's look. You'll understand that the man who wrote this, was a guy named Paul. And Paul was writing to a church that was very much like the church here at Living Streams. He was simply writing a letter to them to encourage them, to encourage this group of people about how they should live their lives. And so he tells them then in this letter, he says things like, "Hey, you know what I want you for you guys? And you know what I want for you?" He says, "I want you to be imitators of God." You know, that's what I want to see in your life, he told them. "I want you to be imitators of God and lovers." You know, he said, "Man, I want you guys to love each other and encourage each other," he said. "And let that love and let that encouragement, let that shine on the hurting, let that amplify the wonder of God." And so Paul is saying in Ephesians 5 that, you know, when you're in that condition, you know, when you're loving God and when you're loving other people, when you're in that place, when you are imitating in that way, living like that, he says, you know what's going to happen? He says, you're going to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. So we're asking the question, when we come to Living Streams on Sunday morning, why are we to sing? Well, this passage, it unveils that insight for us. When we sing, we're told that our purpose is twofold. Okay? There are two purposes in our singing. Let's look at Ephesians 5 and consider what those purposes are. We'll see that the first purpose is to bless other believers. Okay, that's the first purpose of singing that we see in Ephesians 5. And then the second that we see is that the purpose of singing is to bless God. Okay, so we're to bless others, we're to bless God when we sing. Let's look at that first purpose of singing to bless others. You know, I wonder, when you come to church on Sunday morning, do you come with the intent of blessing others? I recognize that you might be sitting in your chair this morning and you're thinking, listen, buddy, you've not heard me sing. And when I sing, it is a blessing to no one. No one is blessed when I sing. And I understand that thinking. Okay, I appreciate that. It's considerate of you. But I want us to understand this. In verse 19 in Ephesians, it said it began with the word speak. Okay, it said speak to one another. Now, I think when we see the word speak, we immediately picture speaking in the sense that I'm speaking to you now. Speaking in the form of a gentle address. You might picture, you know, two individuals conversing back and forth. But understand that that view of speak, that really limits what Paul was trying to communicate here in Ephesians 5. Because understand that this word speak, it is not confined to normal conversation. This word is not confined to normal conversation, but it covers utterance of any kind. Okay? Speak in verse 19, not normal conversation, but utterance of any kind. So speaking here, it refers to any sound. It refers to any noise. The key behind this word speak is the whole idea expression. Okay? When you read speak, you need to be thinking expression. So to speak in this context, you know, it could be a groan. It could be the groan of a mentally disabled individual who's unable to form the words to speak. But that's speaking in Ephesians 5:19. You know, to speak, it could be a small child's la la la. You know, but it could also be the thrilling voice of, you know, the great tenor Luciano Pavarotti. It could also be the voice of a farmer in a field, you know, just singing as he drives along in the tractor. So understand that Paul's point is that you, Christ follower, you know, he's saying, you imitator of God, you spirit-dipped Christian, you express. Okay, he's saying, you express, you make known the greatness of God to fellow followers. He's saying, you need to let the joy of the forgiven life, you need to let that drool out. Let it come out. Speak to one another. Verse 19, he says, you can do that, you can drool that through psalms and hymns and through spiritual songs. Now, why does Paul distinguish between those three? I mean, they kind of look a bit similar, don't they? You know, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, what's the difference? You know, if there is a difference, is it significant? Well, let's look at the three. We'll give an example of each. So to answer that question, is there a significant difference between psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? What is a psalm? Well, the psalm that Paul refers to here is simply the singing of Scripture. Okay, the singing of Scripture. We can understand that the Psalms, that was the hymn book for the people of God in ancient times when they came together. They would open up the Psalms and sing. You know, and it's just more recently that the church began to open up a hymn book. But originally, they would open up the Psalms. So when Paul speaks of a psalm, he is referring to the singing of Scripture. So here's an example of that. You know, Psalm 136, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, his love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. You know, doesn't that sound like a song? You know, it is a song. You know, so we can note that a psalm is the singing of Scripture. It's the expression of Scripture. That's what Paul's talking about in verse 19. Next, what is a hymn? Speak to one another in hymns. A hymn, here in verse 19, is a song of praise that's directed at God, based on Scripture. Okay? So a hymn is a song of praise addressed to God based on Scripture. So what's the big difference then between a psalm and a hymn? Well, the difference is that the psalm is Scripture and the hymn is based on Scripture. That's the difference. Here's an example. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet. Sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it. Mount of thy redeeming love. So psalm is the singing of Scripture. A hymn is a song based on Scripture. And then thirdly, spiritual songs. So what is this spiritual song that we see here? Well, spiritual songs are neat. Okay, spiritual songs are spontaneous songs. Okay, spiritual songs are new songs that burst forth from the Holy Spirit from our mouths into heaven. Okay, so the spiritual song, it's a spontaneous Christ-centered song. An example of that, I'll share it with you. One morning I was riding my bike to go feed some hogs. And it was early in the morning and the corn was coming up. And so the fog, you know, it's damp and wet out there. But the sun was starting to come up and it was starting to burn away that fog from over the crops. And I just remember the fog, it was so thick. I mean, my hair was wet and my shirt was wet. But that sun, it was beginning to come up. And just I was riding along to feed the pigs. There was a song that just burst forth in my heart. And it wasn't anything that I'd planned, but it just happened. And there's no way, I've tried a number of times, there's no way that I can explain this to you without it seeming really goofy. Okay, so it's okay to laugh, but I don't want you to miss the spiritual significance of it, because it was a sweet time of worship, you know, that morning when it happened. But so what happened was all of a sudden, you know, I'm riding along and all of a sudden, you know, I kind of got my hands on the handlebars, you know, I'm kind of starting to snap, you know. He made the beans. Mm-hmm. He made the corn. Mm-hmm. You know, a car drive by. He made the sky. Oh, Lord, Lord. You know, it was a really sweet time that morning. I know it just sounds really weird now. But it was good. The tiniest twinkle of heaven, you know, just you and God. And just that sweet communion, that spontaneous song. So it was a good bike ride that morning, and I'm sure there were some hogs that were blessed too. Okay. It was a good bike ride. And so when Paul talks about spontaneous songs, you know, that's what he's talking about. You know, we tried to bring that into some of our corporate worship time here at LSCC. Just the past month or so with that love you song, just trying to help lead us into that spontaneous time. And we ended with some spontaneous time this morning. You know, I didn't plan to sing, you know, I want you, God, but it just came forth. You know, I want you, God. You know, and so we sang that together spontaneously. So those are three expressions that Paul writes of. Psalms, it's the singing of Scripture. Hymns is a song based on Scripture. And then spiritual songs are spontaneous songs of praise. So we're told to express to one another in that way. And we're told to do it, you know, from the overflow. And that's really the key, you know, from the Holy Spirit. So many of us miss that. We're to express from the overflow of spiritual joy within us. Do you want a definition of singing? If you do, this is it. And it's true. Singing is a consequence of the Spirit. Okay? That's what singing is. Singing is a consequence of the Spirit. Listen, the Spirit-filled life, it will produce music. Okay? The Spirit-filled life produces music. The singing of words, with or without instrumental accompaniment, the singing of words, it has a wonderful power and stirring emotion, in waking sweet and glad memories and soothing. You know, I remember this week, Friday night, you know, Friday's a super busy day at the farm, and I was dead tired, and we were getting up on Saturday morning. Well, what happens at 10 o'clock? Ruby is just screaming the lights out. I mean, just rah, rah, rah. So I'm like, okay, you know, come out. You can sleep on the couch. So she gets on the couch. Rah, rah, rah. And it's, oh, man, help me, Lord. I got to get up. And so I take her into the bed. Ruby, you're going to have to stay there. You know, and I mean, I've tried, you know, with her, it was different because, you know, you'd be like, Ruby, knock it off.
Okay, okay.
Ruby, you're going to get a SWAT if you don't knock it off.
Okay, okay.
You know, she keep SWAT.
Okay, okay, I'll try.
You know, just keep going. I mean, there was like no stopping it. So anyway, cried and cried and cried until he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. The 12 times I sang that, she didn't cry. Now, when I stopped crying, wah, 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 you know, so it, but I'm just saying, singing has power. Okay, singing can stir us, it can move us, it can help. So it could be that you're still saying, you know, yes, that's great, that's nice, but I'm telling you, my singing does not and will not ever be a blessing to anyone, bring any type of encouragement. And that's fine. And I've got to say, over the past 15 years of being in church ministry, I mean, I've heard, you know, some bad singing. I mean, it's out there, you know, we don't need to deny it, you know, it's not the elephant in the room. I mean, there's some bad singing out there, right? But, you know, I remember this one gentleman, and I'll just call him Joe, that wasn't his name, but Joe could not carry a note. And I mean, he could not, and he tried, and I mean, I know he practiced, you know, but he couldn't get it. But I'll tell you, to see just the joy when he would stand and sing, I mean, just the unashamed joy. I mean, tears just flowed down his cheek. I mean, wet cheeks. You know, just unashamed joy. You know, I didn't care. You know, I didn't care about that. Now, please understand that's not an endorsement for bad singers to sing up front here at Living Streams, okay? I mean, let's face it, everybody's got their own place. It could be yours is right in the pew, okay? In regards to music, we have different gifts, right? So you've got somewhere to serve. But I tell you about Joe, you know, just to encourage you, you know, not to limit your expression of joy, you know, because that can impact your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't limit your expression of joy in whatever way it is that you express that. You know, one author wrote this. I thought it was a great quote. He said, every believer's heart is like a harp. Every believer's heart is like a harp. We can understand that, you know, some of us are never going to sing up front. And, you know, some of us never going to play an instrument, but every believer's heart, you know, every believer's heart's like a harp. And let's not forget Paul's point here that our purpose, you know, our purpose of singing is to do it that we might bless and encourage others, express in such a way that it lifts others up. Did you know passionate worship's like the flu? Kind of, I mean, maybe that's a bad one. But it spreads fast. It spreads fierce and it spreads powerfully. So in a good way, passionate worship is like the flu. Sincere, passionate expression can draw, it can awaken, it can warm people to the things of God, to the person of God. So when you come in on Sunday morning, do you come with the intent of blessing others? That's the first reason we're given to sing to bless others. And then the second reason, as we find there's a second reason in Ephesians 5, the second reason is to bless God You move into verse 20 with that one. It says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So sing and make music in your heart to who? To the Lord. To God the Father. Give thanks and bless God. You know, I wonder, when you come to church on Sunday morning, do you sing with the intent of blessing your God? Do we sing with our heart? Or do the words, you know, do they come in through our eyes? You know, I know I talk about this when we lead worship, but you know, do the songs, they just come in through our eyes and just pass right out through our mouth and never dipping down, never getting into our heart before we express them? Just mindlessly, you know, thoughtlessly. You know, think about this. Do you spit out a song like mouthwash? You know, when you sing, is it like Listerine? Just spitting it out. You know, does that type of song, does it bless God? Whether you acknowledge it or not, I mean, you're speaking to Him in those songs. You know, so my soul longeth after you, God. So is your heart, is it fixed? Is it focused on who you are speaking to? You know, do you like it when your child comes into the room and, or maybe doesn't come into the room, but yells at you from the bedroom? You know, we don't like that, do we? Or we're talking to them, they're looking the other way. Not a good thing, right? You know, so are we fixed on Him? You know, I wonder how we would feel if some close friends of ours, if they got together and they planned a huge birthday party for us. And they sat down with us and they said, you know, they told us ahead of time, hey, man, we want you to know that we love you so much and we just appreciate you and your friendship over the years. And so we decided this year you deserve it. I mean, we're going to give you the biggest birthday bash, the best birthday get together that has ever taken place. And so our friends, they went all out on this birthday party and they ordered the cake and they hired a band to come in and play music, and they've got this gigantic, you know, pink birthday sign just splayed out across the yard. We'd be looking forward to that, wouldn't we? I mean, we'd be feeling pretty special. Man, this is great that I have friends like that. But what if when that evening, you know, long awaited, that evening finally came and we got to our party. You know, I showed up at my party. And you showed up and everybody else was there. You know, they all came. But when you showed up, nobody said hello. Nobody sang happy birthday. No one acknowledged that you were there. You know? It was like you weren't even there. You found out, you know, they were really just looking for a reason to get together. You know, I mean, they didn't care about me being there. They were just doing it in my name. They were just wanting to get together. You know, I wonder how God feels when we show up on Sunday morning to hear us sing for Him. You know, and He sees the heart. And He knows where our heart is. You know, how does He feel? When you sing on Sunday morning, do you honor Christ? And when you sing on Sunday morning, do you give Him a reason to show up? Because understand, whether you're singing out loud or singing in your heart, you know, are you giving Him a reason to show? Because I'll tell you, I would suggest to you this morning that God has better things to do than sit around listening to stale praise coming from stale hearts. There's other things He can do. Deuteronomy 10:12, it says, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You understand, the Father that of whom we gather in His name to bless, you know, do you understand that He expects full recognition? Full, complete, reverent honor, you know, wholehearted love. You know, that's what He's looking for. You know, what do you want, God? You know, what do you want for this gathering? You know, it's not a big birthday cake. It's not a big pink sign. I know I'm being silly and obvious and all that. But just give me some grace. He expects full recognition. You know, that's what He wants. He wants full recognition, wholehearted love, you know, honor to be directed toward Him. So when you sing on Sunday morning, do you sing with the intent of blessing God? You know, why do we sing when we come? Is it some kind of warm-up drill? Is the worship pastor supposed to be Richard Simmons? Is it a time filler? Do we just do it to do it? And why do we sing? Well, in Ephesians 5 says, look, I'll tell you why. You know, it's when you're being imitators of God and the Spirit is flowing through you, that's what's going to come out. That's a product of the Spirit-filled life. It's going to produce music. So I want to encourage you this morning, when you come on Sunday, come to bless others and come to bless God with your expression. You know, why do we sing? There's a song entitled, That's Why We Praise Him, and I believe you guys sang it last week when I was out. That's why we praise Him. He came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word, our light. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show His power and might. That's why we praise Him. You know, that's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, because He gave His everything. That's why we praise Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity to gather in Your name. And I just pray that You would help me and that You would help each of us. That we, when we get together on Sunday morning, that we would be more mindful of You. That we would be more concerned about what You want and what You want to hear, what You want to see in this body. Father, we want to be children of light. We want to walk in Your light. We want that light to shine out through us. So, Father, help us not to hide and cover. Help us not to shy away from You, but to step out and to seek Your face and to hear Your words and approach You each week with honor, approach You each week with reverence, approach You each week with a very purposeful recognition of You. And Father, I know there are things that can hold us back when we try to worship. And you know, sometimes there's something that we don't like, or maybe somebody singing next to us did not live in the way we think that they should live. But Father, that we would be imitators of You. And then it would be paramount for us to bless others and to bless You, to tap in to that living stream, that flowing Spirit who fills us with songs from heaven. So, Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you for each person that's here. I just pray that you'd cover them this week, that you'd help them with the things that they carry, the things that they struggle with. Father, in those moments of discouragement this week, if there are any moments of despair, I pray that you would come and that you would reveal yourself to them and that they would draw fast to you, that they would hold tight to you. And so, Father, I thank you for them. I thank you for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.